Welcome to the Hills Baptist Podcast. We're so glad you're joining us as we see Jesus glorified, lives transformed, and hope revealed in the Adelaide Hills and beyond. We hope you enjoy this message.
To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, but not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Do not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock.
And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility to ward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favour to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that may lift you up in due time.
Cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you.
Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, stand firm in faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm and steadfast. To Him be the power forever and ever. Amen.
Is that it?
With the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. She who is in Babylon chooses together with you. Send you her greetings, and so does my son Mark. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ.
Awesome. Thank you, team. Can I get all the kids to come out the front? Because this first part of the message is for you guys. So kids, don't be shy. Come on, come out the front. Come out the front, grab a seat. Grab a seat, and then you guys have your program on in a moment. But grab a seat for looking at me. Yeah, facing this way, awesome. So kids, I've got a question for you. If you go to Africa and you go on a safari, going to a wildlife park, what animal do you want to see? What's the biggest, scariest, coolest animal that you want to see? A lion, correct answer. So when I went to South Africa, I went to Addo's Elephant Park, and I was told that there is a whole bunch of lions in this national park. And I was with a friend, and we were in a little golf, and this safari, we weren't in a cool Jeep. We weren't with a special guide, but we ourselves just drove around the park. And we saw rhinos, we saw elephants, we saw giraffes, and we're in this tiny car, and there's these ginormous animals. And then we get to the spot where there's been lions that have been sighted for the day. People have said, guess what, there's lions here today. There's been so many people who have seen the lions. And on the screen, after we looked and looked and looked, you'll see a photo of me and the lion. Unfortunately, we didn't see any real lions, but I got out of my car, which you weren't supposed to do, and took a photo with the sign because that was the closest thing I got to seeing a lion that day. But do you know what? We just read a Bible passage, 1 Peter 5, and it speaks to us as the church sticking together. As you look around, the call of God from 1 Peter chapter 5 is telling us, as the church, this is how we support one another. Sam's just going to put a video of a lion hunting a zebra, just for the kids in the house. If you don't like an animal being preyed on by a lion, you might not love this video, so just a little cue. But Sam, hit the video. And you see, what the lion wants to do is it wants to separate these animals from each other. You see, the zebras are getting chased. In a moment, the zebra is about to come onto the screen. And what the lion's trying to do is separate them to actually spread the pack wide open. And what is the lion trying to do? It's trying to prey on the one alone, the one who's a little bit weaker, a little bit younger. And the lion attacks the smaller zebra away from everyone else. Cue the gasp. Oh, I know, oh no. Oh, all right, Sam, take it off. But do you know what? In that Bible passage, we see that in 1 Peter chapter 5, there is a call for all of the church to support one another. And it's a call for all of us. It says in verse 7, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Tell Jesus all your worries. But do you know what it's saying? It's saying together with other people, don't do it alone. Do it with other people, supported by one another. Because God doesn't want you to be by yourself. God doesn't want you to struggle by yourself. Why do we want to see you guys journey together, get to know each other, have fun together? Because we want you to journey together. Do you know what wildebeest and buffaloes and zebras try and do? They try and get the younger ones in the middle of the pack. They try and get the older ones to surround them and support them. And the sick, the struggling, the hurt, they go in the middle of the pack so they are supported and protected. Can I get all the kids to look at everyone in this room? You guys stand up for a moment and then look at everyone in the room and then sit back down. All of these people, we are called to be the family of God to support one another. We're going to have Pastor Trent, who's standing at the back, and he's going to help me with my next analogy. Because sometimes when we're alone, when we don't share things to other people, when we hide things from others, we have no strength and no power in our lives. And it's like trying to shoot a bow and arrow, but with no strength or no power. Why? Why did that not work, kids? Why did that not go very far?
You just completely let it go. You're supposed to pull it back.
I'm supposed to pull it back. Do you know what 1 Peter 5 said? That we're supposed to journey together. We're supposed to support one another. We're not supposed to be alone. We're supposed to be the church family, caring for one another, bringing our worries to each other and praying for one another, caring for one another. And do you know what happens when we do that? We actually walk as God called us to walk. We actually have a new sense of power, a new sense of strength because we're with other people. And it's like when we pull back the bow, it's designed to be pulled back because in our lives, we're designed to support one another. And when we do that, we have a new kind of strength, a new kind of power. Are you ready, kids? Turn around because we're about to shoot Trent. Give a round of applause to Trent. Well done. Trusting me on that. All right, let me pray for all the kids. They're about to head on out to their program. They've got something on. They've got a cool movie that they're going to watch. But why don't we pray for our kids? God, we thank you for our children in this house. We thank you that you call us never to walk alone. You call us to support one another, to journey together, to bring all our worries, all our anxieties to each other, to the light, to you, King Jesus. And we pray that our kids in our church family would grow up knowing the truth, walking out the truth, and supporting one another in the truth. We speak this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So kids, together, follow Trent as you head on out. Give the kids a round of applause as they head on out. So that was my little intro. So everything that I spoke to the kids, we're just going a little bit deeper. But for some of you, that was probably deep enough and you're probably good. That's the word for you. Maybe I was going to say tune out, but please don't, because God's got more for you. But I want to title my message this afternoon, Together, Now and Forever. If you're a musician, I'm not a musician, but you might have a song from High School Musical, we're all in this together. Anyway, I won't keep going, but if you need a soundtrack for this message, that's your soundtrack. Together, now and forever. In 1 Peter 5, we've been unpacking this series as a church family, and this is our final week. And we see how the passage is so often spoken about, this call of how we're called to live as Christians in the world. But in chapter 5, it's a call for how do we live as the church together. It's a call for Christians. Called for them in that time, living in the Roman Empire, through persecution, in the midst of a world referred to as Babylon, speaking to the evil going on. Where pagan worship, idol worship, drunkenness, sexual sin is rampant. Women are treated horrifically, and babies are often killed if they weren't born as a male. And under the rule of Emperor Nero, Christians are being burnt at the stake as night torches and fed to wild animals as entertainment. And this is where we pick up. In the life of Simon, Jesus calls him to lead the Jewish people to himself. Jesus calls Simon and renames him Peter, meaning rock. And on the day of Pentecost, we see Peter name what the power of God is doing through the life of the disciples and what the Spirit of God is doing. Much of Jerusalem is transformed and Jewish people come to Christ by a powerful demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And here in 1 Peter, it's decades later from Pentecost, and this letter is written to the wider Roman world, where this message of Jesus started with the Israelites, started with the Jewish people, but the hope of Jesus isn't just for one people group, but for all humanity. And Peter, along with others, are called to support and testify to all people, to the Gentiles, and to spread this message. 1 Peter 2 verse 9 to 10 speaks this so powerfully. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Peter's spoken about biblical submission in the world, in marriage, submitting to God, speaking about how Christians are called to live set apart. And here in chapter 5, we see, well, what's our call as the church? Together, communally, seeking Jesus, not in isolation, not separate from the pack. What do we see? The call to the flock. All of you, chosen together. And when it says you, it's not speaking as we might read this in our individualistic culture and context, but it's better translated as yous or you all. So when it says cast your anxiety, it's speaking, hey, church family, come together and bring your struggles to one another. Come together and bring it into the light of King Jesus. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares. What's the title of my message? Together, now and forever. The call is for the church. Peter is explaining how the church is called to live. called to live in the midst of an evil world, calling the Roman Empire, speaking into that context. But how powerful is Scripture when so often it's speaking to a context that is so far removed, but yet so close to us and in our time, in our cultural moment, and what's going on today for us. We have a youth camp coming up at the end of September, the 26th to the 29th. And thank you for some of you who have always said you're coming along to our quiz night, raising funds for that on August the 8th at Hills Christian on Saturday, 5:30 to 8:30, shameless plug. There's going to be more opportunities to support our young people at camp, but we have 150 teenagers coming along, 40 leaders. And why youth camp is so special is because for 4 days, our young people come together intentionally seeking after the presence of God. Why we're so excited about Gathered is because for 3 days straight, us as a church family are gathering together as the broader Hills Baptist Church family, coming to seek the presence of God together. As we grow as a church family, we want to also have a deep reference point in our year, which is Gathered. Why? Because there is something here in 1 Peter 5 that speaks to a church that would understand what it means to walk out our faith together. What does it mean for us to be set apart? What does it mean for us to be different? What does it mean for us to understand what's going on in the world? And by understanding that, we would understand that there is such a great need for us to support one another, for us to journey with one another, for us not to be that zebra alone or isolated or away from the pack. When you see the precious kids here, do you know what I want for them, what my heart for them is? That their testimony would not be that they went away from the pack, that they went away from the flock, that they experienced the world, they experienced ferocious and vicious animals that hurt them and maimed them, and then they came back. I know for some of you that that's your testimony, but I know for many of you who that is your testimony, your heart is that wouldn't be the story for our young people. The story for our young people would be that they grew up at our church family, that they were loved, that they were championed, that they were supported, that they were seen, that they were cared for. And their story would be that I've always loved Jesus. I've seen the love of Jesus. I've had the love of Jesus poured into my life, and I can't help but want to follow him. I can't help but want this life, because everywhere else I look, I see something different. We want to be a community that would be marked by the love of God, that we would see our kids encounter the love of God, so their story wouldn't be that they've walked away, but their story would be they've always known him. And the gospel is, yes, the hurting, the broken, the downtrodden are called into the fold, called into the family where there is healing, where there is life. That is the truth. But for our young people, we want them to know, what does it mean for them to know this? Because this message is a message for the church, a message for us. 1 Peter 5, let's go from verse 1 to 4. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's suffering, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd, meaning Jesus, appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fail. In the Roman Empire, where there is a patriarchal, domineering, unjust leadership system, Peter calls the church to be different. He calls the elders. But as you read this, yes, it's for Ian Carter, who just got elected as an elder, but it's also a call for us who want to lead, who want to be used by God, who want to have influence. Older saints in the house, those who have journeyed with Jesus for longer than I have, we need you. We need your wisdom. We need your prayers. We need your mentorship. We need your covering. We need your protection. We need you to invest in our kids, our youth, and our young adults, to seek to invest in the generations. 6 years ago, I got a tap on the shoulder from our senior pastor, Dave Shepherd, and he asked me if I wanted to be the youth pastor here. But 6 years ago, we didn't necessarily have the policies and the procedures. We didn't have a governing council, and things weren't run necessarily as smoothly as they are today. We've grown a lot. And how I got hired was I got told that I was going to meet with a couple of the key youth leaders and some of the elders at one of the youth leaders' houses and to bring my bathers because we're going to go swimming. Marion was there. She was an elder at the time. And I thought, swimming? I had never really been swimming while being interviewed at the same time. It seemed a bit peculiar. And I got there and I remember seeing the elders of our church and seeing the genuine love they had for one another, the genuine friendship they had, and the desire to see the kingdom of God grown here in the Adelaide Hills. And I thought to myself, I'm in. This is special what God is doing here in this place. And I can see the call of God on the leadership here at Hills Baptist. And yes, I had an interview and I was the only one being interviewed and I got the job. And yes, hiring procedures are a lot different today, which is a good thing. And as a 22-year-old, I stepped into the role and there were so many people in our church family who had me over for dinner, who encouraged me, who supported me. And I'm so, so grateful for that. I want to be one of those leaders for our church family. I want to cover and I want to support the generations in our church family. And I want to be used by God to champion this church family. And I wonder if that's what's stirring in your heart as well. Recently, I got married 3 months ago yesterday, I found out. And at our wedding, there was something that I had on my heart for a few years, and my mum and my brothers are here, and at our reception, I had this thing that I wanted to do, and I'd thought about it for a number of years, and what I did is I got everyone in the room who was over the age of 40 to stand up, and it was only the men, and I said to the men over 40, I said, I didn't grow up without a dad. I grew up without a dad, but God placed each and every one of you in my life to support me. And I had tears in my eyes and I was looking in the eyes of these older men who had championed me, who supported me. And some of them started crying and I told them, you're not allowed to sit down, you have to stay standing. So they awkwardly stayed standing as I went on and on. And I would have loved to speak individually to a lot of them, but I spoke to the room and I said that you've championed me. You've believed in me when I haven't believed in myself. I've always had someone to go to, someone to turn to, someone who has supported. You've been someone who supported me my whole journey. And when we read 1 Peter chapter 5, I think that summarizes it so well, that the call is for us to do this thing called life together, to champion, to serve, to seek the gain of one another, to call our God-given gifts over one another, because we would be journeying together and seeing and being able to identify what God is doing. None of them replaced my dad, but boy, did I see the love of God through men of God. I saw the Father's heart through so many of them, and it marked me, it changed me. Together, now and forever. Let's go into my second point now, from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 to 9. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. And then it says to everyone, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. Speaks to the younger people, but I think it's the powerful message for us all initially, that wisdom is learning from the mistakes of others. Tim Keller puts it this way, wisdom is making decisions today that you'll be happy with in the future. Speaks about what does it mean to be clothed in humility, to shepherd others, to be honest, to seek others' gain, to serve and champion others, to be that safe pack. How do we do that? I really believe that there's part of this passage that speaks to it so, so well, that we are called to submit to God's way, and then out of that, the natural overflow will be everything else. Romans 10, verse 3, since they did not know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. James 4, verse 7 to 8 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Draw near to God, for he will draw near to you. When Paul is writing Romans 10, verse 3, he's writing to the church in Rome, telling everyone, telling the Israelites, when Christ has come, Christ has done the work for you, your call is to give yourselves up, to submit to him. But they wanted to go their own way. They wanted to follow their own path, and it led to destruction. A few years later, Peter is writing in Rome, writing this letter to the Roman Empire, speaking to the power of submitting to God together in all areas of life. And what does he say? That the enemy prowls around like a roaring lion. There's emphasis here on like. When does the enemy have his power? When we think the darkness in our lives is too much. When we begin to believe the lies that the enemy's spoken over. But the enemy is a liar, an imitator, a counterfeit, a pretender. And his power is only in what we give him. But what's our response? Where does our power, like the bow and arrow that Trent got shot with, where does that power come from? We've seen this word submission in so many different areas in 1 Peter 5, but I think it's summarized so well in James, where it says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Where do we find our power? Where do we find our strength, church? As together, we say, hey, God, you're number one. Hey, together, we're going to come to him. Together, we're going to seek the truth. Together, this is going to be our landing. Together, this is going to be our grounding. Together, we're going to call out the lies that can so easily cripple us. And we're going to submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. But so often, we resist to submit, so we never receive the power and we never have the strength because we resist to submit. But what does James 4, 7, 8 say? It says, submit so we can resist. Find your strength, find your power, find your identity, find your worth, find it in me first, and then from that place, together, fight the enemy. Together, resist the temptation. Together, fight against the lie. Together, submit so we may resist, so we may walk freely. Let me say that part again. Because we resist the submit, we so often fail to resist because we resist the submit. But what do we need to do? We need to submit to resist, not resist to submit. Jesus trampled the serpent's head. Jesus took on the spiritual forces of this world. He took on evil. He took on darkness on our behalf. He took on death and reversed the curse for all of humanity. He did this together. So now we could be called the children of the way, the children of the truth and the light. So we could be the family of God, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So now we are the chosen people. Now we are the people of God. Now we are the royal priesthood. Now we are the holy nation. Now we are God's special possession, that we may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Worship team, you guys can come up. Let me finish with my third and final point. Together, now and forever. 1 Peter 5, verses 4 to 5 and then 10 to 11 speaks about eternity. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Verse 10, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. We can't be steadfast, we can't be strong, we can't be firm on our own, but we can together when we submit to him. Now and forever. What holds us together? It's the forever. That what we do tonight is what we do for all of eternity. When there's division in the church, it breaks my heart, because we're going to be spending all of eternity together. So we may as well work it out now. It speaks about the glory that can never be taken, that can never spoil or perish. I don't know about you, but I need to be reminded constantly about the earthly crowns, the earthly glory that I can so easily chase after, so easily want to be known by. But when we submit to God, when we surrender to him, any earthly crown so easily falls down when we have a posture and a position of awe and surrender and submission to God. So I wonder this evening, where is there things that you've put your pursuit in the wrong place? Where has there been times where you've chosen to be known by the earthly glory rather than the heavenly glory? Because what does it say in verse 4? Jesus is coming back, and you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. That is what matters most. And church, together we get to walk in humility, knowing that there's actually nothing that we can boast in, nothing that we can be proud in, except boasting in what Christ has done for us, boasting in what we get to do together in glorifying and praising the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, the one whom we have our worth and our value and our victory in. So we're going to have an opportunity in a moment just to respond in worship. The kids are going to come back in later than usual, because we're going to have Pastor Adam and I, Pastor Marion, Rory, Ian at the back, and we'd just love to pray for you. Maybe there's things going on in your life that you want prayer. Maybe there's things that you haven't shared, and you just have a sense that, hey, I don't want to be in isolation. I'm struggling, I'm feeling hurt, and I want my church family to stand with me and pray with me. We want to be there for you. We want to do that tonight with you. Maybe there's things going on in your life that you're feeling a call to lead, a call to support others, a call to journey with others. We want to speak truth and life, and we want to fan that flame. We want to pray for you. Maybe there's things that you've placed in front of Christ. Maybe there's things that you just want to lay down and say, hey, I've given too much time, too much attention, too much affection to this. I'd love someone to stand with me in prayer. So why don't we stand? Those who are on the prayer team, can you guys head to the back, who I spoke about before? And let me pray before we respond in worship, before we receive prayer. Father, I thank you that we get to worship you together. I thank you that you call us to do this together. We pray that we would be a church family who would grow in this. Holy Spirit, I just pray even right now you just deposit gifts of leadership, covering gifts, mentoring gifts to support the church family. Right now, Father, I just pray that you would reveal in us things that we haven't surrendered over to you, things that we haven't given over to you, things that we've held on to. Would you just pour out your Spirit right now, Lord? Challenge us to be open with one another, to be real and honest with one another, to bring things in the light together, to cast all our anxiety, to cast all our worries, to cast all our stresses to you, because you care for us, Father. Lord, I thank you that you give our church family a reference point for how we're called to live. So Jesus, we just want to step into that space together. together now and for all of eternity, for all of glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Hills Baptist Podcast. If you'd like to partner with us in developing and equipping passionate disciples who love God, love people, and boldly share the gospel, you can do that at hillsbaptist.com/giving. We pray this message has empowered you to live and love more like Jesus. Have an amazing day.